your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and tonight's guest are not necessarily those of this radio network, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Listener discretion is advised. Now lock your doors, open your minds, and prepare yourself to go
beyond the edge.
It's Sunday night. Time for the hottest alternative talk radio on the planet. Welcome to Beyond the Edge Radio. 2 hours of fascinating guests, mind-blowing topics, and stimulating conversation. All here on your home for the best alternative talk radio. This is Beyond the Edge Radio. Nervous? Scared? Don't be afraid. The wait will be over soon. Sit down, strap in, and hold on tight. You're about to be taken beyond the edge.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of Beyond the Edge Radio live here on the Para X Radio Network. It is February 9th. It's Sunday night and it's just a minute after 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, and we want to welcome everybody to tonight's program. I am your host, Eric Altman, the producer of tonight's program, and with me from Astral Perceptions and Phantoms and Monsters, the very famous blog that everybody seems to be buzzing about today, the one and only Lon Strickler. Good evening, Lon. How you doing, my friend?
Greetings from the snowy shores of the Chesapeake Bay.
We got a lot of snow today, actually.
Yeah, it started snowing today here. I mean, we've been pretty lucky down here, but I guess we're picking up an inch or so tonight.
I think we picked up about 3 today.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it could be worse, but, you know, I don't like snow.
Well, I'm not a big fan of snow myself. No. I'm not a big fan of very, very cold weather. I like fall weather where it's just chilly. And,
boy, you and me both. I love the fall.
Yeah, and that's the extent of it. I don't go for snow. I don't go for ice cold temperatures. But then you see people on Facebook posting, remind me not to complain about the heat in August. And yeah, okay.
Well, this is true. I don't care for the heat that much either. But I tell you, you know, snow's good for hunting. But when you're hunting big game. But other than that, it's about it for me.
Yeah. Well, this year hunting, we didn't have any snow. Of course, the 1 week of winter that we didn't have any snow, and the rest of the year it's dumped on us. So,
yeah.
But it is a little chilly outside. It's a winter wonderland out there for most of the country. Even down in the south, in Atlanta, they've gotten snow, and Texas, and everybody's pretty much a frozen winter wonderland out there. So bundle up, folks. We've got a good one for you tonight. The good doctor is returning to BTE Radio, Dr. Barry Taff. Will be joining us tonight on the show at the bottom of the hour. And for those who don't know who Dr. Barry Taff is, you've been living in a cave, because this guy's been around for almost 40 years investigating the paranormal, over 5,000 cases he's investigated. Some of the more famous ones, Lon, that I know you're aware of, is the famous Entity case and the San Pedro case. We'll get into that a little bit later with him on the program. But a full bio on Dr. Taff is available by going to our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. And on the main page, just scroll down a little bit. You'll see a photograph of the good doctor there and a bio about Barry. Or you can go right to his website, barrytaff.net, BARRYTAFF.net. Check it out. It's a fantastic website. He writes an amazing blog, and he incorporates science into the paranormal. Not just the ghosts and hauntings, but ufology, cryptozoology. He has a great book out called Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, which he put out several years ago. And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight as well. So a great show in store for everybody tonight, Lon.
Yeah, Barry's one of the original parapsychologists, I guess you want to call it. The infamous UCLA Parapsychology Institute or lab. Him and Barry Conrad actually investigate some really major cases. And, you know, if anybody that's familiar with the movie Poltergeist, those parapsychologists that were in that movie, and in fact, I think Barry, he did consult on it, was based on the work of UCLA lab. So, he's been involved with a lot of different movies, of course, the Entity case, but like Logan's Run and, a few other television, movies. So, Barry's been around. He sure has. And, He's got quite a bio.
Yes, he certainly does. And as we talked weeks before on the show, he is formerly with UCLA. He was in their parapsychology department. He has a degree in parapsychology, and we're going to be talking with him about all things paranormal tonight. And one thing we're going to touch on is a blog that he wrote a few months back about paranormal reality television, something that we quite often talk about here on the show and discuss. So we'll be talking with Barry tonight, picking his brain and getting his thoughts on paranormal reality TV. I know he starred in several television programs on the History Channel, Travel Channel, Discovery Channels. He's been seen on many, many, many TV shows as either a consultant or interviewed, or you name it, he's pretty much done it.
Yeah, he sure has. I'll be interested to see what he has to say about this.
Me too. Me too. It's going to be a fun show tonight, and everybody's in for a real treat. Speaking of fun shows, we want to thank everybody that tuned in last week to BTE Radio for our Todd Cease investigation and briefing case. We had Butch Witkowski on the show with us, and of course, Lon, you were heading up the roundtable discussion. And a lot of live listeners, we had a lot of archive listeners. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. And for those new joining us as of last week and, of course, tuning back in this week, we want to say thank you for tuning into the show. We hope you like what you hear, and we encourage you to write us and let us know your thoughts on the show. Do you enjoy it? Are there things that you don't enjoy? Guest suggestions, topics you'd like us to cover. We've got a variety of topics coming up in the near future, a variety of new guests coming to the show, and we'd like to hear from you. Drop us an email at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com or visit our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. There's a contact section on there for you to drop us a note. Let us know what you think. And if you do like us, you can review us over at Stitcher Radio. You can review us at iTunes. We appreciate any positive or negative feedback. It helps us to improve the show and to always try to get better.
Yeah, and we're not afraid to touch controversy as well. And, of course, last week's show was evidence of that. So, if it's something that, you know, that the viewers, the listeners really want to get into, just let us know. And we'll see what we can do.
Exactly. And we're always happy to hear from our listeners. So, and those who have written in the past, we thank you for your time sending us encouraging emails and even a couple of negative ones. We've gotten some critical feedback, which we appreciate because it helps us, as I said, to improve. So we appreciate that very much. And we want to thank our listener base for tuning in. As I said last week to you, Lon, I'd be happy if we had 5 people listening to the show. But we've got people from around the world tuning in.
I think it might have been like that not too long ago.
Yeah, you know, very possible.
I think we have really grown and started to get some recognition over the last year or two. And, it's been a good ride. And, we've been given the opportunity to meet a lot of people and to talk a lot of people. And we kind of like to bring the movers and the shakers to the paranormal world on the show, and hopefully that'll continue.
Exactly, and that's one thing that we strive here for at BT Radio is trying to find out the truth. We don't care what the truth is, if it's different than our thinking, but we want to know what the truth is, and that's what we try to bring our listeners. We try to entertain you, provide you with real answers and the truth. And that's what you'll find here. Controversial, yes, sometimes. Fun, entertaining, we try to be. not always successful, but try to be. But we have a good time with the show, and we're down-to-earth radio. So for those new listeners tuning in tonight, we want to say thank you. For our loyal listeners and people that have tuned in week after week, year after year, thank you for that as well. We appreciate each and every one of you. A quick rundown. We've got some new guests added to the lineup for March, and I'm just going to run through this guest list very quickly, then we'll turn things over to you. I'm sure you have some new things to talk about from Phantoms and Monsters.
Yeah, I got at least one thing I want to touch. So
okay, you know. So real quickly through our guest list, next week on the show from the West Virginia MUFON chapter, he's the state director. He runs the West Virginia Center for Unexplained Events and the West Virginia Mountain State Sasquatch Watch. His name is Fred Saluga. He is a former police officer who has multiple years in the police force and multiple decades working in the paranormal. He was investigating Bigfoot cases in Fayette County, Pennsylvania, back in the 1970s as an on-duty police officer. So we'll talk to Fred about that. He's got some very interesting theories and speculation when it comes to Bigfoot and cryptids and the paranormal in general. So it's going to be really interesting to talk to Fred next week on the show.
Yeah, I've never talked to Fred personally, but I am looking forward to it, and we'll see what he has to say.
And he's actually, he worked on the Todd Cease case as well, and he probably has some information to share with us about that, so we'll talk to him about that on the show. The following week, we're going to be talking cryptids as we welcome Amy Perry, our new paranormal paranormal news correspondent, to the show. For the first half hour of the program, she's going to be talking about paranormal news, what's hot in the paranormal world right now, reading a couple of news stories, and we'll discuss it as the BTE crew. And she'll be joining us every other month to bring us the whole program, a full 2 hours of paranormal news, and we'll be discussing that every other month. But our cryptid guest for that show next 2 weeks from now, the 23rd of February, is Katie Elizabeth. She is a cryptozoologist, author, and president of Champ Search. And she looks for lake monsters, specifically Champ out of Lake Champlain up in the Vermont area, Lon.
Yeah, that case has always fascinated me, even more so than the Loch Ness Monster case, which personally I don't think is a valid cryptid. What do I know? But anyway, the Lake Champlain case is, I think there has been some really decent information and some very interesting images that have come from that.
Oh, and, yes.
Especially some of the underwater images that have come from, like, you know, surface boats on the surface that have the big, like, I don't know, like large eel-like looking creatures has been, you know, seen underwater. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to see what she has to say. I have a few theories about what's going on up there, but you know, we've never had anybody come on to talk about, you know, Lake Champlain. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Katie, is really on the ball when it comes to the Champ legend. Mm-hmm. And, I know CNN, as you mentioned, different videos. CNN had a video that came out a few years back, I believe in 2010, that showed a large aquatic animal swimming next to a touring boat or like a small yacht, fishing boat.
Yeah, that's the one specifically I'm talking about. That I don't know what that was. You know, it really couldn't make a shape out of. You know, some people said, well, it might have been a sturgeon. It could have been a sturgeon, but
possibly.
That that seemed a bit big to me. So
yeah,
we'll talk to her. You know, we'll talk to her and see what she has to say about it.
So two lovely ladies join us on the 23rd. Amy Perry in the Paranormal News, as she is our new paranormal news correspondent, and of course, Katie Elizabeth, the cryptozoologist, author, and president of Champ Search. March 2nd, we're going to take a very interesting, different look at Bigfoot. Now, everybody knows that listens to the show that I've been a Bigfoot researcher for probably 34 years now. I've done field work for about 18 of those years. And I've actually looked into the subject and studied the subject for about 34 years. Lon, I know you've been researching this for a long, long time, too, probably about 30 or 40 years yourself.
Yeah, about 30-plus years.
So we both have our own opinions about what Bigfoot could be or what it is. And this gentleman joining us on March 2nd has his own opinion and theories about what Bigfoot is. His name is Jack Lapsaritis, or they call him Kawani Lapsaritis, and he's written a book about the Sasquatch people and the psychic Sasquatch, and he believes they are a race from, they're not a terrestrial being, they're an extraterrestrial being, and they're here on the Earth, and he works with them. As he just got back in touch with me to book the date, he said he was 2 weeks ago in an area working with the Sasquatch people. He is very controversial. There's a lot of people in the Bigfoot research community that don't agree with what he has to say. But
I can imagine.
Yeah, but Kawani has agreed to join us. I'm very much looking forward to talking with him. And what's interesting about Kawani, I've never met him. I've never spoken with him. But he has worked with a very close friend of mine. I haven't seen this gentleman for a few years. But one of the first people I got involved with research was a gentleman by the name of Dave. And he was out of Bradford County. And he had some very interesting experiences with Sasquatch, more of a metaphysical experiences than a physical experiences with Sasquatch. And he's written about in Kiwani's book, Sasquatch People. So I want to talk to Kiwani about that, because I've been in the woods with Dave and I've witnessed some things myself that have me puzzled and scratching my head. But I want to talk to Kiwani about that. I want to talk to about his relations with the Sasquatch people. And that's going to be a very interesting and very, very intriguing show, Lon.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel. I think cryptids in general have got some supernatural aspects to them. And Bigfoot isn't any different, in my opinion. But, you know, it's always good to get a different view of this. We're pretty open-minded on this side of the microphone. So we'll see what he has to say.
Yep, most definitely. March 9th, we have Karen Dolan coming on the show with us. She is a UFO and paranormal investigator, a lecturer, host of the show Through the Keyhole on the Paranormal Radio Network. And she's agreed to come on, and she's going to talk with us about the connection between the paranormal and UFOs. So that's going to be an interesting program with Karen on the 9th.
Yeah, well, that there you go again. Another one of these connections, possible connections.
Yeah.
I like Stan and a lot of other people do buy into this, and I'll be interested to see what she says about that.
Me as well, likewise. Moving on to the 16th of March, we've got a paranormal celebrity joining us. This gentleman appeared on the TV show Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. He's the founder of Patch Ministries, and he's also now a motivational speaker. As he calls himself the paranormal rock star, Dustin Perry joins us on the show on March 16th.
Yeah, you know, and I've never met Dustin. I think you may have.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's just another subject that we bring to you and hear what he has to say about, you know, his own views of the paranormal. That'd be interesting to hear.
Most definitely. And I have heard him on several radio programs, specifically our good friend Tim Shaw's show, The Black Cat Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And he does lecture on – he's a motivational speaker and very positive attitude. I was very impressed by his interview with Tim on his latest program, The Black Cat Lounge, when Dustin was on. So it's going to be great to have Dustin join us. We have to thank Amy Perry for hooking us up with Dustin and getting an invite over to him, and he agreed graciously to come on. And we'll be talking to Dustin on March the 16th.
Very good.
And then lastly, the last person I booked for March right now is Steve Jones of Team Spectre in Ohio. He has 30 years experience in television and radio and the outdoors, and he has worked very extensively and very closely with infamous, I should say infamous because he is pretty infamous. He's one of my Bigfoot heroes, so to speak, Robert W. Morgan. If you recall, Robert W. Morgan from the 1970s had several movies out, was very prominent in the Bigfoot research world, and he lived in Ohio. He did a lot of work in Alliance, Ohio, and in the central part of the state. And Steve worked right along with him and was tutored and mentored by Robert. And Steve has agreed to come on the show on March 23rd to talk about his experiences in the paranormal world as well as in the Bigfoot and the cryptid world.
Oh, that'll be very entertaining. I look forward to that. I've never really heard much of those stories. So, great.
And as I talked to Steve tonight, just before coming on the air, he told me he has some stories he's never shared with anybody before, and he's going to share them with us on the show.
Well, that's great.
So, working on a guest for March 30th, and when I do have that booked, I'll make the announcement about that. So those are the guests that are scheduled to come on BTE Radio in the next couple of weeks. And like I said, if you want to be a guest on the show, have a guest suggestion, if you'd like to suggest a topic, you can email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. From our guest list and scheduled topics coming up, we go over to Phantoms and Monsters. Lon, what's happening over there on the blog this week?
Well, you know, our buddy Robbie Shaw from down at Point Pleasant, he sent me a sighting report. And in fact, what I understand, and Linda Godfrey even told me that she just put it in her last book just before it went to the printer, so it's already going to print. But he reports on a bipedal wolf-like cryptid that's been reported roaming the area of Point Pleasant.
I did see that.
Of course, yeah, of course, we know Point Pleasant's got you know, not only the Mothman, but there's a few odd things that have been seen in that area for years. So he writes that a couple nights ago. Now, this was, I got this on January, this was written, sent to me on January 14th, or it happened on the, he received it on January 14th. A couple nights ago around 11:30, a local young lady had a very scary sighting of a creature she described as like a werewolf, only scarier. Now, the location is locally known in Point Pleasant as Cat's Eye, and it's on Madison Avenue. Two nights ago, the young lady was sitting on the front porch in an enclosed patio of a few large windows. One window opened in the front beside the front door while she was smoking a cigarette. It was after 11 p.m. and the visibility was good up to 100 feet because of the street lights. She said before this sighting she had heard strange noises and that the local dogs have been going nuts off and on without any apparent reason. She said while she was sitting there having a smoke, she noticed movement, thinking it was someone walking down the railroad tracks. She looked up and saw something that she said blew her mind. It was, in her words, a thing that had a head of a dog, almost exactly like a German Shepherd, and was walking like a person on two legs. She said she saw its eyes, and that when she noticed it staring at, and she noticed it staring at her, she said that she became lost in its eyes. Now, any other description she cannot recall clearly after seeing it look at her and then her seeing its eyes. She did tell me that it was dark colored, either dark colored or almost had the look of wearing an oversized black sweatshirt, as in the meaning it was rather large, bulky in the upper body. But she didn't think it was a sweatshirt, but hair or fur. I asked her to clarify this. She said that that's really the only thing she noticed and can remember, other than the head and the description. She said the height was in the neighborhood of 6 foot, maybe a bit less. She stated several times how the eyes drew her in. She said the creature took a couple steps toward her, and at that time she saw a flash of light. The creature looked towards the direction it was originally heading, and in a very quick moment, spinned and took off in the direction it came from. The brief flash of light, she soon found out, was her mother's headlights as she turned into the road. She repeatedly asked her mother if she had seen anything near the railroad tracks when she was near home. She said no, nothing. However, she was not paying much attention because she was late getting in and was tired. Rob says he considers very interesting. What's very interesting about this is that there's a government installation located directly across from the witness's home, and they have an array of cameras installed over the entire property. He said it's also patrolled by armed guards. Of course, we'd all like to see the cameras, but if this thing was out there, it definitely would have been recorded. So, I don't know what she saw. Rob gave a pretty good description of this thing. I think I know the area it's at. I haven't been to Point, well, I've never been to Point Pleasant, but, you know, I've looked at the maps and everything from all the sightings over the years, and from that, I got an idea where it's at. In fact, I don't think it's really that far off the river. But, he did say that, you know, he's pretty sure that the thing's got, you know, very smart, very intelligent, and that can easily move in and out without being seen. So, that's interesting. You know, and the thing about the eyes. Now, you know, Stan Gordon got a hold of me the next day. And he said that he's been receiving a lot of reports lately, as I have as well, of people noticing the eyes on these cryptids that they're seeing. Now, he mentioned the creature Mud Creek Road. And you're probably familiar with that, Eric. And
yes, I am.
That was up in Troy, Pennsylvania. And this beast basically, you know, did the same thing. Now, that was like a shapeshifter type of cryptid that was seen on the side of the road as this couple drove by, but the eyes just seemed, you know, to pick up on them. They picked up on the eyes themselves, and it had an effect on them. And quite honest with you, you know, with a lot of these Mothman cases that we have heard in the past, that has, you know, that the eyes itself and the effects on the witnesses has been pretty prominent. I have had a few canids type sightings that, you know, where people would mention the eyes, but be quite honest with you, you know, you're hearing it also in these Bigfoot reports. People notice the mostly, I guess, yellow type eyes, and when they're moving through the woods, they look at the witness looking at them, and they kind of react like this person is actually seeing me, and they kind of react to it. And we're getting a lot more reports like that. I mean, I know you guys have been getting a lot of reports with the PBS, but have you noticed that as well? Where these Bigfoot sightings, where the creature actually seemed to notice that they were being seen?
Some cases, yes. It depends on the case. I mean, we get a lot of reports over the years, and it's not just recently. We get reports from people saying that, you know, the Bigfoot was doing whatever, and then all of a sudden it noticed me, and it quickly fled the area. So we do get cases like that. And we do get cases occasionally where people claim that the creature was watching them, the witness, do whatever they were doing. You know, if they were hiking or camping or chopping wood or hunting, the creature was spying on them. So we get those reports too. But I haven't really noticed an increase in it.
Well, the only reason I say it, that I feel it's increased, and I think maybe Stan has said, was saying the same thing. It just seems that, you know, a lot of these sightings that we had gotten for years have been more of a fleeting type nature. You know, they see it, but the thing didn't really look at them. But for whatever reason, lately, now I don't know if people are more observant or what, I don't know. But it just seems that these, you know, when a cryptid or something that they don't know what it is looks at them, they kind of get that reaction like, I got to get out of here because this person or whatever is looking at me knows I'm here, or realizes that they are seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have had people tell me that before, and it just seems, you know, I didn't really think much about it until Stan brought it up to me this week, but, you know, that is true. I mean, it just seems that people are noticing that these things are being like startled or surprised that they're actually seen.
I couldn't honestly tell you. I haven't noticed an increase in the reports myself. We've gotten them for years, so it really hasn't seemed like it's increased to me. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really paid much attention to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I think
that's something I want to talk about with Stan when he comes back on the show, because I thought it was interesting he brought it up, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I guess it's just something else. You know, when you read these reports for all these years, every once in a while you start picking different things up. And, you know, after he mentioned it did kind of spark something with me that, you know, people do seem to be looking at the eyes of these things a lot more and are mentioning it a lot more.
That I haven't noticed either.
You know, and people, you know, there's always been that theory about Bigfoot and, you know, certain Bigfoot sightings where people felt like there was some type of psychic connection with it. I don't know if you necessarily have had those, but there have been reports in the past where people feel that they're being communicating with these things. I don't know, you know.
It's a very rare thing. It does happen.
It is rare.
But it is, it's a very rare thing. It's not a common occurrence with sightings. I mean, if I sat down and went through every report that was ever submitted, I would say it would be in the low 10 to 20% of reports that have been accumulated over time that talk about a psychic connection or a communication. It's a very, very low number.
Well, it had to be a report where the encounter was actually pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. But like I said, it's something to ponder. I mean, I think I'm going to look into it a little further and maybe do a report or do a story on it, because it does seem to be occurring with some of the sightings more so than what I've used to get. So we'll see.
Yeah, definitely will. Well, we've hit the bottom of the hour. I want to throw one quick announcement out there before we go to our break, and I just was reminded of this. If you are fans of the show Banal of America with Tim Banal, it airs live during the week. I believe it's on Wednesday or Thursday nights at 9 p.m. I will be Tim's guest this week on Banal of America, Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can listen to the show by going to Banal, B-I-N-N-A-L-L, of America.com. That's Banal of America.com. You can also catch it on MP3, streaming audio, over at iTunes. A lot of great places to catch that show. But I'm very honored to be on Tim's show, Banal of America, this coming Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So check that out.
It's an excellent show. It really is.
It is. It's one of my favorites. But enough about that. We've got to head to our break because our guest, Barry Taff, is standing by in the wings, and we're going to have him on in just a few minutes. So we're going to take our break right now and remind everybody that you are listening to the Para-X Radio Network. We are Beyond the Edge Radio. Eric Altman, Lon Strickler with you tonight. No Sean Forker. He's off due to work-related reasons, but he will be back next week on the program. So tonight it's just Lon and I. So sit down, strap in tight, hold on, because we got a wild one for you tonight, folks. Barry Taff joins us in just a few minutes. Stick around to BTE Radio right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Shows like this. Beyond the Edge Radio. Beyond the Edge Radio.
Welcome back to tonight's program. This is BTE Radio, short for Beyond the Edge Radio, and we are live here on the Para-X Radio Network. It's Sunday night, 8:39, February the 9th. It's a chilly one out there, folks, but we invite you to crank up that heat or stock that fire. Get it nice and warm in your house. Turn down the lights. Grab a hot cup of cocoa. sit back and relax, because we've got a great show in store for everybody tonight. Dr. Barry Taff is back after 2 years of being on the program with us, and we're talking all things paranormal. We'll touch a little bit on cryptids, maybe some ufology. The sky is the limit tonight with Dr. Taff. And to find out more about him, you can go to his website, barrytaff.net, BARRYTAFF.net, or you can go to our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com, and there's a bio there listed on the page and some links to go to Barry's website. But enough of my rambling. Let's get Barry back on the show. Barry, it's great to have you back on the show, my friend. It's been a long time.
It's great to be back. Be back, Eric. It's always good having friends you know that are normal that want you on their show.
I wouldn't go that far, Barry.
Compared to some of the people I've known, you guys are very normal.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that and return the compliment as well, my friend. It's been a few years since you've been on the show, and you've been quite busy writing blogs for your website and really putting out some great information. And I read a blog that you wrote a couple months ago, I think it was, about unreality TV, paranormal TV, of course.
Messengers of Deception, yeah.
Exactly.
It's an appropriate title. You know, that was the title of one of Jacques Vallée's great books.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it's obviously, with all due respect to Jacques Vallée and his book, the only thing that has to do with it is that Vallée was talking about the confusing nature of information and ufology. My book was about the fact that the reality show industry, a genre, is basically all about lies. I've known a lot of people that have worked in production. I'm talking just regular reality shows, not the paranormal type.
Mm-hmm.
And every show, everything is fake, everything is staged. If you're a producer of a reality show, you have logistics problems. Something must happen each show. You can't have talking heads or your ratings will be very remote or very low. You have to have something happen. So you make it happen. You stage it. It's choreographed. They can't expect what they want to occur and sit there with thumbs crossed, their fingers crossed, hope it works. No, it doesn't happen like that. So whether it's, chasing crazy paranormal wives, God knows where in the country, or bachelors or bachelorettes, everything is fake. Everything.
I would agree with you.
Fraudulent. And when it comes to the paranormal, you've got a real problem, because if you've got a paranormal reality show, you've got to follow the formula. The formula is this: since the chance of running into phenomena when you're out in the field, especially with cameras to do recording, is about the probability of winning the Powerball lottery 5 times in a row at the $500 million level. It's just not going to happen. So they have to make sure it does happen, which means they fake it, like most, if not all, the time. They then embellish and exaggerate anything that might happen to make it look more than it is. And then they populate the shows with a bunch of crazy wackos that are more entertaining than if ghosts were on the show to begin with. If you wait for something to happen, the show will end very quickly. I mean, the series will be pulled off the air. And it began in, well, before the genre began, this is like 12 years ago, I was contacted by a producer. I won't use his name because I don't want to promote him. And he told me what he wanted to do, and I said, great. I said, but most of the time nothing happens. I've been doing this work for decades. And I said, we know that. I know that. What are you going to do? We're going to fake it. And then when it does happen, we'll call it a hoax. Oh, okay. I said, well, nice knowing you. And he goes, you don't want to work on it? I went, no. And so they kept approaching me over and over. No, 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 the series was on the air. No, different versions of the show. No, I won't do it. And I said, okay, what house and car are you buying me? What? I go, no. I said, look, I'm not doing this. And then in the fall of 2011, a company called Raw Television, they're in the UK, contacted me. And they do a show called Paranormal Witness, which is on that bastion of lies and disinformation, sci-fi. I call the Sci-Lie Network, the Sci-Live channel. And they wanted to do a show on the San Pedro case. So, I sent them a chapter of my book and some other things that whatever. And so they sent me a contract back. And here's what it said in so many words. They intend to discredit me, to libel and slander me, to defame me, to ridicule, embarrass, and humiliate me. And if I tell anyone what they've done, they can sue me, but I can't sue them. What? And I said, what are you people smoking? What are you people? Are you out of your minds? And I said, no. I said, you're insane, right? This is a joke. No. wait, so I'm going to, oh, and they said, if I show the contract to anyone, even once I sign it, I could be sued. I said, okay, well, when you come out of your delusional slumber, let me know. I said, no. I warned them that if my name, my voice, my face, even if they refer to me in the third person, is on their show, I will sue the production company, I will sue the producers I spoke with, and I will sue the network, and I will win. So the show aired without me on it, and they lied their ass off on the show. Just complete, try to rewrite history. Crap. And they didn't use my name when Jackie Hernandez was talking about it. Well, I called the parapsychologist, and she started to say my name, and they stopped it immediately. Okay, so that was done with. Later, the next year, they're doing a show, no, next year, 2013, that's right. A show aired in April on another of my cases, the Cielo Drive case, which is literally a stone's throw down the road from where the Sharon Tate murders took place in 1969. Mm-hmm. So I was there for a year on the case, and incredible. It's one of my blogs called Cielo Drive Convergence, the Ultimate Field Laboratory, on my website. Anyway, incredible things happened, incredible instrumented readings, and they didn't approach me, and I'm watching the show. I didn't see it the first time it aired, but I recorded it and watched it later. And there they lied their ass off. Every fact of the case was a lie. Everything they talked about was completely a lie. Nothing was accurate. What the people were saying, they told them what to say, and they said it. They just lied about everything. Okay, so that's bad enough. What else is new? Look what channel it's on. Look what show it is. Then I'm watching the very end of it, and I'm in the show. I'm on the show. I'm going, what? There I am. We were shooting a video at the house in 2006 in the winter, like in late January, early February. And an acquaintance of mine was there shooting video in case something happened, which, of course, it didn't. And they lied about that. But there I am. I'm what the? I never signed a release. What are they talking about? Now, I've been on TV in the last 44 years, maybe 1,000 times. Big deal, you know. The bottom line is, in every instance, even if it's news, you must sign that release. They never approached me for that.
Wow.
They didn't dare approach me because I would have said no. I said, I don't want to be linked to that stupid network and to your stupid series.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they said was a lie. And, of course, I was on it. And if they approached me, I would have said no. So they put it on anyway. And they know no one will take the case because it isn't worth anything.
Right.
So I wrote my article. I mentioned the production company and the show and that bastion of paranormal lies, the Side Lie Network. And I gave the name of their lawyer and his email address and his phone number. I said, let these people know that you will not tolerate their lies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened, but I'm sure they weren't pleased. And, you know, this is – if they're willing to run the risk of being sued, it means that eventually they'll be able to do anything they want with anybody and because they know no one can afford to go after them.
It's amazing to watch some of these shows today that really – the general public especially that watch these shows, and we all know that they're done for entertainment purposes, and of course they exaggerate or stretch the truth or even, as you said, they lie, outright lie. We know it's for entertainment. We know there's no real educational value to most of these shows, but the general public doesn't know that what they show is fact or fake. They don't know, and it's unfortunate.
I mean, I have a term I've made up. It's an acronym, EFIM. It's not a real word. It'll be EFIM.
Mm-hmm.
And it means entertainment for the ignorant masses. And if you say it, you know what it really implies.
Mm-hmm.
By saying it. And that's what I think, that these shows are made for people who don't read, they don't really write, they're just sort of they're bored, and it gives them a chance to do nothing and think, oh, that's interesting. You know, if the phenomena was as common and as frequent and as consistent as they depict on these shows, it wouldn't be called phenomena, and it wouldn't be called paranormal. We already know what it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the worst part is that it's doing a tremendous disservice to parapsychology because, you know, I think these shows have set the field back by about 75 years.
I would agree with
you. It's now considered a joke. It's, you know, and they don't care. They're there to, you know, it's, and by the way, there's a new show in development. It'll be shooting, I think, starting next week. It's a show for an ABC network. It's a ghost hunting show. I don't think they have a name for it. And I know that I know one of the guys who developed it. And what it's going to be, I got sent a link, I don't know how or why. I thought they were trying to solicit me to participate in the show. So I called them. This was just like last week. And each week will be a new young family living in a house, sort of like the Paranormal Activity movies. Young family with kids, and all weird, weird stuff's happening, you know, paranormal events, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they call the team of ghost hunters coming in, and they wouldn't tell me who they were, but the implication was they were hired from casting. The people that came in were people hired. They did a casting thing online. They brought in actors, and they're telling them what to do, and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said to me, do I know any places that are active? And I go, no. My caseload has dropped way off because people call the clowns on shows. They don't call academicians to come in.
Right.
So the thing will air. I'm not expecting anything dramatic to come out of this other than boredom. Some years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, Mark Burnett did a paranormal reality pilot. Never aired. And a good friend of mine, Lloyd Auerbach, was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And some other people. Lloyd, one of the brightest, most intelligent, articulate men I've ever known. Guy's a walking encyclopedia. And I have tremendous respect for and admiration for the man. And he said, you know, it was so bad, the network wouldn't air it. Fox wouldn't air it. You can imagine how bad it must have been.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically, every word out of their mouth, they were you could only say this, only say that. They had to wear certain clothes. I mean, it's a joke.
Wow.
Which shows the kind of disdain that Mark Burnett had for the subject matter. And, you know, so here it is. And, I think they're missing the boat. The real bottom line to the paranormal reality genre is this. A show called Dead from the Neck Up. Okay? And here's how it works. You know, in the old days, before there was cable,
yes.
40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when broadcast went off the air, you'd see and hear audiovisual noise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there was nothing until they started broadcasting. Well, now that doesn't happen because it's 24/7. So, but in that noise, you could have a show, and all you broadcast, all that's seen is audiovisual noise, and heard is audiovisual noise. You tell the people watching, there are spirits, there are entities, there are things hidden in the noise, and we want you to see it and write in immediately through email and tell us what you're seeing and how they respond to you. No production cost. You don't have to pay a director, an editor, a cameraman, talent, nothing. And you make, and I guarantee you people would watch.
I'm sure they would.
They would watch. You know, it's depressing.
Yeah,
it is. It's very depressing.
Now, I'm curious how your blog was received by the paranormal community, because there's a lot of folks, a lot of notable folks, who are on or have had their 15 minutes of fame, either being on a paranormal reality show or starring in a paranormal reality show. What was your reaction to your blog?
The reaction, actually, I didn't get much of it. I got, they were, everything I received was quite positive. Supportive, understanding. People say in the comments I saw, that they mentioned my name, that I wrote a fitting tribute, or I guess negative tribute to the genre, because most people know it's crap, mm-hmm. you know. And so nothing negative. Since I've been online writing, I went on about 2010, I've only written one thing that got unanimously negative responses to, and that was something I published in the middle of December 2012 called Sign Psychosis, Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was talk about the fact that one of the reasons why paranormal is viewed so skeptically and with such disdain is it tends to attract more mentally ill people than any other field out there. And I went through case after case, people, men and women and young and old, throughout my last 45 years of work, and I didn't give their real names. And some of it's damn funny, but I'm saying, and I got hundreds, if not thousands, of angry, vitriolic hate mails. And no one criticized what I was saying. They were angry because I said it.
Ah.
And it's like, then at the end I said, if you think any of the people I've just described sound normal to you, then you're part of the problem.
That's the
and
truth.
I mean, it's you know, anyone with, you know, space cadet, oh, there's, yeah, demons. And it was an instance, I remember in 87 when the book Communion came out by Whitley Strieber.
Mm-hmm.
So MUFON set up these support groups, which was unique. And so we were out running them here in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California. And so but Whitley was there and other people, one of the many times. And this one woman named Val, and she's talking about her alleged abductions. And I believe abductions, some abductions are real, but some aren't. Most aren't, probably. But anyway, we're listening to her, and she sounded like she was very disturbed emotionally, perhaps some chemical imbalance, neurochemical imbalance, or maybe some traumatic brain injury. And I thanked her, and that was it. I didn't offer any help because I'm not a psychiatrist.
Right.
And that was it. And, okay, years later, I'm online, and she posted a blog. Now, remember, I met her in the fall of 87.
Mm-hmm.
So she says that she knew instantly upon meeting me that I was sneaky and underhanded. Oh, really? Okay. I can't be trusted. I instantly hypnotized her, gained control of her mind, went home, and then used psychotronic weapons I have hidden in my basement to direct evil entities to attack and rape her as she walked up and down streets. And wow. I used her as the basis for the Entity movie. And I went, what?
Huh? Wow.
I go, wait. Okay. The Entity case was 74 to 75 in Los Angeles here.
Mm-hmm.
The book came out in 78, 79. The movie came out in 83, but I didn't have the displeasure of meeting Val until 1987.
87.
So it would have been retroactive, temporally. She probably that did.
Maybe she was a time traveler.
Yeah,
maybe she was just maybe she was just psychotic.
I think that's the possibility.
and there was then I met a woman about a year and a half ago. Related to some work, I'm the curator of a new website called ParanormalWorld.com. And I posted a lot of my blogs on there, but also I posted a lot of really good videos of different subjects dealing with the paranormal and ufology.
Mm-hmm.
So I met a woman who had been working for it before, and I never met her. And, I talked with her a few times, and she started acting really weird. I mean, really strange. And I thought she was joking. We realized, no, she wasn't. She wanted to know if I was a hybrid. I go, no, I drive a gasoline car. No, are you a hybrid? I don't drive one. I go, what are you talking hybrid? No. And then she said she wanted to know if I could take her boyfriend back in time to undo all the conditioning he got from being raised in a dysfunctional family. And I went, oh God, no, I can't do it. And then she said she knows a place to go in the forest where she meets Bigfoot and she has regular conversations with him. And I said, so what did he say? Did he tell you needed to see a psychiatrist or what? And, it just got weirder and weirder.
Wow.
And then she said, she wanted me to read her book she published online. It's How to Become a Multimillionaire from Playing the Lottery. So I assumed by what she's saying, I didn't read the book, that she's very, very wealthy. And she said, oh, no, I haven't done it. And she's looking for a job and she's in trouble financially. Well, if it works, why haven't you done it? It's your idea. Well, it takes a lot of practice. I said, you're not doing anything else. You got all the time in the world. End of story.
Amazing.
Thank you very much. Then she said, oh, listen, you want to come to Greece with me? I go, what's in Greece? Well, I could take you to a cave to meet some aliens. I said, well, I go to Greece. I'll go to a few miles southeast of where I live. There's lots of aliens. And she didn't like that. What I was trying to point out is this field attracts more insane people because there's no controls over it. There's no standards. We don't know a lot yet. We know enough to know that we don't know.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
And that's the problem. And it's amazing. I remember it was a girl showed up in 19. I dated her in the 70s. Beautiful brunette. Just didn't work out. So, she showed up again in 1998. I was giving a lecture with my colleague at the time, Barry Conrad, and she came up and said hello. I introduced her to Barry, and she said, if I would help her with what? Well, fight demonic aliens, because sparring with the CIA and the FBI. And I went, oh, God. And Barry said to me later, I thought you didn't date women like that. So when I knew her, she wasn't like it. Jump forward several months. She calls me, and she says, and this is in my book and on my website. She goes, I need your help. I go, what is it now? And I remember her name is Linda. What is it now, Linda? She goes, no, the Earth's about to explode. I went, what? The Earth's about So I thought, I can't pass this opportunity up. I said, excuse me, Laura, I've got to send baby Kal-El off to the world before Krypton explodes. You're insane, and I hung up. And she hasn't bothered me since. So it's just, I mean, I just, it's unbelievable.
I would have to agree with you. I think, and not everybody is insane.
Oh, no, of course not.
Right, but it does attract a lot.
Of it. There are crazy people all over Insider, all over the place, for everything you can imagine. There are normal people, there are little strange people, and there are real crazy people. This field tends to attract the real crazy ones. And then one guy criticizing what I wrote about, he said, oh, I'm probably the one that was nuts. Everyone else is normal. And he said, how dare I say that working in this field will make you nuts? Like, that's not what I said. I said, the reason these crazy people are attracted to the field is because they're delusional. They're hallucinating. They're living in their own mind. They're dissociative. They don't even know what they're going through. The whole bit, these people need psychiatric intervention.
Do you think that it's possible that these people who have these conditions, these ailments, are looking for someone to believe them?
No, not believe as much as to make their voice heard. Like, in other words, listen to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, the girl that, you know, said the world's going to blow up and you have to fight, help me and, you know, fight demonic aliens. You know, like, no, she's telling everyone she knows within earshot, listen to me. It's like they're not even aware that what they're saying is a little odd. They think, with a lot of them, they think it's real. The one on the phone, meet aliens in a cave in Greece and take her boyfriend back in time? What are you talking about? I mean, like, you know, if they really believe what they're saying, then they're mentally ill. They're psychotic. They lost the ability to differentiate between reality and fantasy. If they know it's garbage and they're doing it to get attention, then they're just crooks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're taking advantage of people more gullible and naive than they are. So whether you're, let's say you're working in the entertainment field, you're a writer, you're a producer, you're a director, you have a lot of crazy people there with and without drugs. But this field seems to be riddled with them because they think, oh, look what these other people are experiencing. It's just like me. And no, it isn't just like me. Over the course of my 45 years of work, it's obvious a lot of the times that the people we work with are suffering from some instability, mental instability. They need therapy. They need medication. They need to see a psychiatrist. They need something. And, you know, if no one intervenes, they're going to get worse. Mm-hmm. And then there are real people, average, normal, healthy, grounded people, and strange things happen, and they want to know what's happening and why. It's very strange. So it's a very complicated field, but that one article I wrote attracted so much I've never seen such hateful email. How dare I say that? How dare everyone's nuts? I go, that's not what I said, Reed. Oh, you're talking about girls you've dated? I go, there are men in there, too. I don't date men. And these are your patients? I'm not a medical doctor. No, these are not patients. So it was really weird. So basically, I must have hit a nerve to get that type of negative response.
Apparently so.
Yeah, so, you know, what could you do? There's always strange people out there looking for reasons to yell and scream at others.
Hey, Barry, you had mentioned before we came on the air about demons and entities and such, and you don't buy into the demon description or that they really exist. Can you explain that?
Well, first of all, people look into the history of the word demon. The history in terms of Western civilization, people who didn't follow the teachings and the words of the church were demonized, spelled a little different. And they were instead of listening to God, they were listening to their own mind and heart, and they did what they wanted. They were demonized. Nothing to do with entities or ghosts or spirits, but that's the way the word evolved. The minute the word comes up, I hear someone talking about it, I just like, oh, yeah, right, okay. Mm-hmm. Demons are producers who don't pay you. Demons are people that steal your work.
Mm-hmm.
Demons are people that steal your scripts, or steal your patents, or break into your home and rob you of money and jewelry. I hear the word, it's like, okay, time to go to sleep. Forget it. I'm not interested. The bottom line with all this seems to be linked to living people. In other words, without us, living human beings, with nothing seems to happen. We're at the core of everything. The phenomenon is real. It's paranormal for sure. But without a living human agent at the core of it, and my book gets into this, as does my website, nothing seems to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like there's information out there. Okay, there's radio waves filling the air, microwaves, you know, broadcasts, all sorts of things. If you don't have the means to access it, you'll never know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that some people act as what I would call biological operational amplifiers, waveguides, and focal planes. They're accessing information, and they're accessing it may cause it to reconstruct itself in the physical world in a way that seems a little odd to us. But without us, nothing happens. So, you know, this, unfortunately, looking back over my own thousands of cases, the faces and places may change, but the events do not.
Yeah.
Willing to ask the right questions and listen not only to what they say to you, but how they say it. A lot of these things are somewhat explainable in terms of the mechanics. The exact energy is what we're still dealing, trying to put our heads around. What is the force of nature? Because based on what we know about physics, these things shouldn't occur, but they do.
You know, and looking at the Blither case, the entity case, you know,
your work
kind of, to me, was the first that actually came out with, like, the thought form, the use of the thought form, like in her case, that she was responsible for the actual activity that was going on.
Yeah, I mean, see, this is what people have to understand. This is really good. This is at the core of all this. Okay, we have Doris Beither, 1974. We go out there. My colleague met her at a bookstore in Westwood that no longer exists. She talks about her case, gets her phone number, go out there August 22nd, 1974, Culver City, California. And the very first thing she said, that she'd been repeatedly raped by a ghost. And we thought, oh, my God. The woman's out of her mind. She's psychotic. We listened politely, took some notes, and we left. What are we supposed to do? 2 weeks later, she called back. And this is in my book and on my website. Long and short of it, we began to experience some really amazing things, like luminous anomalies and things that shouldn't be there. And we recorded some, which are discussed in my book and shown on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And what we photographed, we couldn't see. And what we saw, we couldn't photograph, which, of course, makes no sense, but that's what happened. However, here's the important thing. She had 4 children, 3 boys and 1 girl. We never met the girl. She was very, very young. She was always out when we were there. She had 3 boys, 1 larger teenage one and 2 younger ones. Now, she claims she's being attacked by 3 male entities, 2 smaller ones that held her down and 1 larger one that raped her. If you knew Doris and listened to the way she spoke, and this is a very troubled woman, she drank a lot. We don't know about any drugs, but she drank a lot. And one doesn't have to be a psychotherapist or an analyst to realize that this could have been very easily a form of projection, where due to sublimated sexual desires or libido, you know, some libido over at that she was doing this to herself. It was a weird relationship with her family. Each boy was from a different man. And as she moved, a phenomenon moved with her, which is the norm, actually. Poltergeist cases are usually linked to individuals as opposed to environments, although it could be both. In haunting cases, it seems to be linked to the environment, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman moved, Doris moved from Culver City to Carson. It followed her. Then from Carson to San Bernardino, it followed her. And then from San Bernardino to Texas, it followed her. Then it ended by the time the movie came out in 83. Allegedly, it had all but ended. But then her kids claim that it continued up until the day she died. And, you know, we don't know. That's what one of them said. I don't know one way or the other. Now, she died in 1999 at the age of 58 of cardiopulmonary arrest. Why? We don't. No one knows. That's when she died. That's the cause. But what made her heart and lungs stop? We don't know. So
it's interesting. I mean, because you know, people hear poltergeist and the first thing you think, well, it's a haunting. Well, it's not a haunting. I mean, it's somebody causes it. I mean, like you said, projection, and you know, it's kind of hard to explain to people. But, you know, you're really the first person anthropologist or somebody who ever actually put it out there.
Before me it was Dr. William Rowe, who passed away the other year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all in agreement on this. There's different aspects of it. The best way to describe this is this. The three blind men touching an elephant. So one blind man is holding the elephant, grabs the elephant's leg and thinks it's a tree. No. The other holds the elephant's trunk and thinks it's a hose. No. The other holds the elephant's tail and thinks it's a rope. No. They're all wrong because they can't see the elephant. All they can see is, perceive is what they're touching at the moment. They can't see what the full beast is. Okay. Another way to describe it, you're on a lake and you see a wake being produced by a boat, but you can't see the boat. You're only able to see the effect the boat produces in the water, but you can't see the boat. That's where we're at. We're measuring the effect of an unknown cause. And the bottom line is, like the San Pedro case, 1989 and 1993, even in some ways more dramatic than the Entity case, because it followed her, and it was amazing. I remember we were doing a hard copy show back in 93, I think it was. And so to me, it was pretty obvious what was going on. It was Jackie moved in the environment. The stuff affected her. She carried it with her. She kept moving. It moved with her. Now what's intriguing, whatever the real nature of it was, it kept attacking one of our assistants, Jeff Wheatcraft.
Right.
And she didn't like Jeff. She took an intense dislike to him because she was very attracted to Barry Conrad, which was normal. Tall guy, dark hair, blue eyes, looks like a young Elvis. You know, all the women could relate, like him a lot. Very friendly and affable, you know, easy to be around. And she looked at Jeff as an impediment to her growing closer to Barry. And so I said to her, you know, Jackie, what would you like with Jeff? I just wish he'd go away. Someone would get rid of him. And so on the show, I said to the camera, I said, so, you know, this isn't a ghost. This is Jackie's psychokinetic ability doing this. And so the producer says, oh, so this is the, she's telling the ghost what to do and the ghost is doing it. I go, there's no ghost here. It's Jackie. I mean, now what's interesting, she was staying in a motel for a while when she moved up to Weldon, which is in Brighton or Bakersfield. It followed her there. Came back to San Pedro, staying in a little bungalow. It was back there. Things happened, staying in a motel. And she comes home one day visiting friends, and written all over the walls and ceiling in big red marker pencil are the words mad and angry. If you had to describe Jackie's personality at that point, her state of mind, yeah, it would be mad as hell, and she was angry. This whole thing uprooted her life, turned her life upside down, inside out, was not very good to her. It hurt her in many ways, emotionally. But even more intriguing is this. She moves in there. Things happen. She moves out. It follows her. New people move in there who knew nothing about the case, never heard about it, read about it, and they, independently of Jackie, start having phenomena on their own, which is similar to what Jackie had. They move out, new people move in. So the analogy I'm putting forth here is that some of these cases, it's like a contagion, but it's not biologic. It's, in other words, if you're susceptible, you go in those environments, the energy, for lack of a better term, alters you in some way. It alters you, it modifies who and what you are, and then you start re-emitting it through yourself, you carry it with you, then it bleeds off, which you know it doesn't stay with you forever. So this is amazing because we're learning something we've never really understood before. This is far more complicated than we ever imagined. Way, way more complicated.
Almost like an analogy where the person is haunted rather than the location.
Well, it's not haunted. It's a form of recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis.
Right.
In other words, let's put it this way. In order to watch a DVD, you need a number of things. One is you need the DVD player.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be plugged in the wall. You've got to put the DVD in the player. The player must be hooked up to your television, and you must then turn it on and manipulate the information. If any part of that ensemble isn't there, nothing shows up on your screen. And I think this is sort of what's going on in this area, that it's different things may cause the same effect. And if the right set of variables are there, in other words, the right environment and the right individual, you get phenomena. If you don't, nothing happens. And the commonalities are extraordinary. the majority of people who are plagued with recurrent episodes of this, not they move in and it happens, they leave, and they're fine. People who it moves with them. And
right. That's what I meant. It seems like
the majority
like
of people that are plagued with this tend to be either seizure-prone or epileptic.
Right. Well, perfect example, the Amityville case. When the family moved out, the people that moved in had nothing occur, but yet the Lutzes continued to have, the Lutz family continued to have reoccurring phenomenon.
I'd be very careful about how much of that case I would believe, because the real evidence indicates that the whole thing was invented. The whole case was fabrication. In fact, before Jay Anson died, the writer of the book, he admitted they invented the whole thing. They were drinking, they were smoking a lot of weed a long time ago. They made the whole thing up. The whole thing was invented, and they all made a fortune. Dr. Bill Rowell, you know, the late Dr. Bill, did a retroactive investigation. He could not confirm one event that was written in the book. Not one. Which, like, okay, so it's a scam. It's a hype. It's a con job to make money. Yeah, they made the original movie. They made several sequels, and they did a couple remakes. You know, it's a joke.
Well, something
I mean, the Faux killings was real, but other than that, no.
Mm-hmm. Something I wanted to bring up, and we discussed this a little bit off the air, is this that recently made the news, and it's made worldwide news. This case in Gary, Indiana, where the family claims that the house they lived in, and even the child, was possessed by some kind of demon. And there were clergy involved, there were children's services involved, paramedics were supposedly involved in seeing and witnessing this. A captain of the police force out there in Gary, Indiana, claims that he saw this. I know you're not real familiar with the case, but it almost seems like, and when the priest that was brought in to perform this exorcism, I believe his name was Michael Maganote, he was brought in to perform this exorcism, listening to him do an interview, what he described as happening in the house sounds absolutely nothing like demonic activity. Lights flickering in the bathroom, watching a blind in the kitchen, the band that pulls the blind up and down, swaying left and right, and that was about the extent of it. The only thing that really made no sense was the claims that the child supposedly walked up a wall backwards. That's the only thing that I can't comprehend, but it seems like that possible case may have been caused by the family, because they moved in this house, and all of a sudden they have all this experiences, and they move out.
This is, like I said, you know, it's like in ancient times when there was massive lightning storms, electrical storms, people think God was angry.
Mm-hmm.
Earthquakes, God was angry. Now we know different. Hurricanes, God's angry. Tornadoes, God's angry. Now we know more about the world we live in. We know what hurricanes are, typhoons are, we know what tornadoes are, we know what electrical storms are. You know, it's depending on where you are and your level of sophistication, what we know about the world we live in, you call something something else. And, you know, we have to be able to realize how much of this is really happening and how much of this is due to basically their own belief systems. Walking up the wall backwards, if that happened, it'd be very impressive. I wonder if they caught it on video, how many people actually observed it. But, you know, to give you an example of what we're getting at here, back in the 80s when channeling became real prominent, I was interviewed by the LA Times. They didn't publish my interview because they didn't like what I was saying. I said, look, guys, it's a man that interviewed me. I said, look, everything these people claim to do, talking to dead people, we can explain much more simply. We had these research ESP training groups at UCLA. We can consistently and very reliably and accurately produce results. Pick things out of people's heads, see things at a distance, blah, blah, blah. No big deal, okay? And there are no dead people involved. But if you tell people, well, I'm just reading your mind, right, you're getting information that's out there through telepathy or precognition, no one's going to pay you any money. But if you tell them, oh, I'm talking to your dead aunt or your dead father or grandmother, or your dead cousin, oh, then they throw money at you because now they're motivated. If you're telling them you're basically a receiver for information we don't understand yet, no one's going to give you a dime. He said, well, that's not very exciting. I said, well, I know, but it's true. Oh, no, I don't want to write that. Okay, well, forget it. That was that. It's in the end, I mean, I don't think any of us will live long enough to really, when science pins all this down. But bottom line is, with parapsychology, many times you can't reliably reproduce things. in laboratories because there's too many variables we don't yet understand. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you're out doing field work, since you can't conduct studies per se, you must collect data for a very long period of time trying to see if there are longitudinal patterns that emerged. And there have been clear as bell. They're yelling at us, the patterns. So the question is, what are they? Well, one of them, in these cases, is the majority of the people are either seizure-prone or epileptic. It can be as subtle having sleep disorders. They've got to take certain anti-seizure medications. However, most people who are seizure-prone or epileptic are not poltergeist agents, which means that it's a unilateral thing. It's not bilateral. And then when the people that have this problem, they take their medication to probe the seizures, the phenomena goes away as well as the seizures do. You could do a study on this, doing functional MRIs and PET scans, and I think we could get at the core of it, get some incredible answers. But since there's no money, and we can't use it to make a weapon system yet or kill people or make a lot of money out of it, no one's going to. And also, you'd ruin your career. If you're an MD, you start getting involved with this, your career is over. You'll never work again. But, I mean, bottom line with all this is this. When you see, like in the San Pedro case, a 6'2" man, Jeffrey Kraft, picked up and thrown around the room like he weighed a couple of micrograms, long before his body would move, his clothing and everything else in the room would burst into flame from the liberated heat, second law of thermodynamics. Not only does the room not get hot, it frequently gets cold.
Right.
Well, that means we're looking at in what's called an endothermic form of energy, which is the opposite of all the energy that we know of. Most ambient energies of nuclear and electromagnetism and whatever, they are exothermic. They produce heat when they do work. This force does not. If we figure out what this force is, and I think we can, it'll forever change the history of humanity in ways we can't imagine yet. Create medical technology, diagnostic technology, propulsion technology. I mean, like get rid of internal combustion engines, get rid of jets as we know them in rockets. And this is all my book talks about. Once we know what this is, the world changes in a very profound and meaningful way for everybody. I think I've made an error in calling my book what I did, Aliens Above, Ghosts Below. I should have called it Looking a Gift Ghost in the Mouth.
Perfect.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to figure out what in the hell is going on, how does this work and why is it happening this way? You know, oh, it's a ghost. No, it's not. It's a little more complicated than that, actually a lot. And an example, when you go out in the field, we take cases, we bring out very high-level, sophisticated instruments. You can measure people's bioelectric field. Very easy to do. No big deal. Measuring biomagnetic is very difficult because it's extremely weak. You need superconducting sensors. There are no handheld devices for that yet. However, if you're around a poltergeist agent, you can measure the biomagnetic field. It's usually around a million times stronger than a normal person's magnetic field. And that's why they're coupling with the environment to trigger these events. And like I said, if we ever figure out what this is, the idea of driving an internal combustion engine to go from place A to B, people go, why don't you use that? We can do this. I mean, I believe that literally we could build a Starship Enterprise with this technology, but no one knows what it is yet. At least no one, as far as we know, knows what it is yet. And this is why I wrote the book. And on the end, what are we learning? What are we learning from these events? What are they telling us about the world in which we live? If we don't do anything about it, then we're wasting our time. Okay, the information's there. We're seeing patterns. What are we going to do about it? Well, can't make money off it. No one's going to do anything.
You know, Barry, just going back to the to Jackie Hernandez. Now, she never had any PK episodes before she moved into the house?
No. As far as we know, prior to living in the 11th Street bungalow where we met her, no. Had no interest, never experienced nothing. If I had to make a bet, and we can't do this, it's way after the fact, if we were able to do sophisticated medical workups on her, I'd be willing to bet you that she's seizure prone. I'd be willing to bet it. It's just because there's certain, and that is what made her hyper susceptible. okay. to the forces there. And also, we were there. The handheld instruments we have today didn't exist yet.
Right.
25 years ago. It was amazing. And, yeah, it was interesting. Phenomena broke out in Barry Conrad's old apartment in Studio City several times after Jackie was there.
Right.
Phenomena broke out around Jeff a few times when Jeff wasn't there. And Gary Bame, a friend of Barry's who helped us with the investigation, Phenomena broke right around him once. I was the only one nothing happened to. So I thought, why me? Well, let's see. I wasn't frightened by this, not for a second. And Barry was terrified by it. Jeff thought they were all nuts, but then, you know, after it happened to him, he walked away from the case.
Right.
I was the only one that wasn't scared, and maybe that's part of it. I don't know. The unknown or missing variable in this equation of, you know, maybe your ability to deal with stress. So let's say you have people that are either seizure-prone or epileptic, and some of them develop this ability when they're exposed to the energy, others don't. Perhaps those are the ones who can't cope with stress. Their brain isn't wired properly. I think studies could be done that would answer these questions. And I think in the end we're going to be shocked by what we learn, that it's all part of something far greater than we could really ever imagine.
I agree with you.
It's amazing. Last, to show you how strange it's gotten, the last case I went out on with was in March 4th of 2009, because instead of calling me or my associates, they're calling the people on these silly shows. And the analogy I put forth is this. My publisher, Vince Wilson, he was funny. He said, you know, you come home one day and you discover, God forbid, your place has been robbed. Your furniture's gone, your clothes, your dishes, everything. Your clothing, everything's gone. You call the police, or do you call actors who play police? You call the police. Apparently, when people today would rather call actors who play researchers rather than real researchers. Or, you know, being a paranormal investigator today means you don't have to know anything. You go out there and make a lot of stupid statements, and that's it.
That's about
it. It's killing the field. You know, any dingbat go out there, oh, yeah, there were eight demons there. Yeah, eight demons there. Sure.
Well, you know, gets me. People ask me about these shows all the time, and they get upset with me when I tell them, you know, I don't even watch them anymore. You know, I used to watch them when they were a new thing, but, you know, what's the sense of sitting there watching something that's just a lie?
Yeah, I'd rather watch Paint Field, to be honest with you. Watching Paint Field would be far more entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
Another thing about science in general. In science, all things being equal, you go with the simplest explanation. So before you assume something is caused by a demon or an entity, you've got to rule everything else out before it's saying it's paranormal. Okay, so if it's not that, then what is it? Then you look back to see if there's consistency in the type of things we're encountering, and there are. And again, it's sometimes it's right in the front of their face. They don't want to hear it because it means that at certain levels, they're responsible for what's going on. I had a case back in, I think it was about 10 years ago, and myself was out with Barry Conrad in Covina, which is about 45 miles east of Los Angeles. And we're out there talking. So she moved in there with her husband and her daughter to fix her upper. And, okay, no phenomena. And then suddenly the husband starts acting really weird. And, no, some things start happening. Doors opening, closed. Windows opening, closed. They hear voices. Things disappear and reappear in other places, the ports. And then the husband starts acting really weird, and he tries to kill his wife. Boom. Out of the blue. So he's arrested. They take him in. They keep him for evaluation. They don't know what it is. They bring him back. It seems to be okay. He starts freaking out again. He pulls out a gun that he didn't even know he had, and he blows his brains out in the dining room, exactly where the original owner did many decades earlier. So we're interviewing the woman, and she said after he died, it got really bad, all this weird stuff happening. And she said when she moved in there, she was very healthy. She said, you know, it's odd. Since living here, I become an epileptic. You think that's relevant? I said, damn right it is. Yeah, and, you know, it's amazing. The pattern is so consistent. It's unbelievable. And you tell people, you ask them questions, and, oh, no, I'm not epileptic or seizure-prone. You ask what medications they're taking, and invariably, sometime an anti-seizure medication will come up, like Clonopin. And, well, that's what we're talking about. Oh, I didn't think that. Yeah, I said, that's related. It's the same sort of thing, but at a much subtler level. And it's amazing, the consistency of it. So the question is, what do we do with this information?
Where do you go from here?
Yeah, and I'm convinced that, again, if there was money and dedication, this could be resolved. I mean, we could know a lot more within a matter of probably 10 years to the point where we could use it to improve. If we can't use it to improve the human condition, then why are we doing the work?
I agree.
And why are we doing it? Because we're bored? Because it's free? Because we don't have to pay for it? The question is, you know, what are we going to do about it? And that's the problem.
That's exactly right.
And for each show that comes on, the bar is lowered. It's already on the ground. Now it's going below the ground.
I have to agree with you, Barry. I have to agree with you.
Yeah, another thing I want to do is called Bimbo Babe Ghost Hunters.
Well, hang on to that thought before we get into it. We've got to take a commercial break.
Okay.
Step away for a few minutes. So I want to come back. We want to talk more about this because, to me, this is the truth. This is what we want to portray. We want to get out to the folks that are out there looking for answers and want to know the truth. This is what we're talking about. So I want to continue with more of this discussion, and I want to get your thoughts on if you think ghosts do exist. We'll talk a little bit about cryptids and ufology when we come back from the break. This is BTE Radio live here on the Para-X Radio Network. Our guest tonight, Dr. Barry Taff. Riveting conversation, folks. You want to keep it right where it's at. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the best alternative talk radio on the planet. Alternative talk radio on the planet. Beyond the Edge Radio.
Welcome back to BTE Radio, Beyond the Edge Radio, live here on the Para-X Radio Network. We are live every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and we have the best in alternative talk radio, at least we like to think so. My name is Eric Altman, your host and producer of tonight's program, and with me, as always, your co-host, Lon Strickler from Phantoms and Monsters. Missing tonight is our color commentator, Sean the Fork Chop Forker, but he'll be back next week. He had some work-related things to take care of, but he'll be back, so don't sweat. Joining us tonight on the program is a good friend of the show. He's been on the program with us multiple times, and tonight we're talking paranormal with the one and only Dr. Barry Taff. You can check out his website, barrytaff.net, or go to our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. There's a quite lengthy bio there because this gentleman has done it all. He's appeared on multiple TV shows, in film, he's lectured, he's an author, paranormal researcher, parapsychologist with UCLA University back in the late 70s, early 80s. This man's been around the block, folks, and if you want to go to find out the answers to the paranormal and what the truth is, this is the gentleman to have in your corner. So we're glad that Barry's with us tonight. Barry, thanks for hanging out on the show with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Eric.
Now, before we went to break, we were talking something about paranormal bimbos.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think someone may have tried this. You know, imagine the Playboy Channel, whatever, and all these beautiful, stunning women wearing thong bikinis running around going, ghost, 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 you know, that's it.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, I mean, the guys, you know, I think they actually tried a show generically like that some years ago, but it either didn't air or it aired and it didn't get any ratings. You know, it's just, every show follows the same formula, which is the problem. And the formula works because everything is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. I mean, like, there are shows, they have a, they had a few shows there that have dealt with monsters and mysteries or something like that.
It's yes.
It's pretty good. They had a, most of the shows are so bad they're not watchable. I mean, they're like, you know, you're like watching nothing. It's the same thing over and over again. I don't see any major change coming forward in this right now because no one's going to risk time and money and energy on something that won't get ratings.
Well, this will probably crack you guys up, and I'm sure, Lon, you're aware of this. I was approached not too long ago, and actually, Lon, you were approached about this too. They have a show called Mountain Monsters, and it's about a group of researchers in the West Virginia Panhandle that go out looking for the cryptids. And basically, not to offend anybody, but they're rednecks. They're hillbillies. And they go out there and they look for cryptid creatures. And they carry around shotguns. Well, Lon, you were approached, and I know I was asked about it. They were looking for another version of the show, Redneck Hillbillies That Chase UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
I was
asked to be part of a show, actually. They were gonna gear to the same type of genre as the Mountain Monsters. So, and I told them, I said, well, look, I'm no hillbilly and no redneck. I can try to help you find people, but I don't know many.
It's almost as if they find something that works. Like, let's say, for example, Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
It's a huge show, very popular, millions and millions of fans that love that program, and they think, oh, why don't we put a paranormal twist to it? Let's go out there and hunt cryptids and call it Mountain Monsters. And they find a team, a research group, that actually does that. And it's, you're right, they're looking for that same formula over and over again. Sometimes they put a little bit of a twist into it, but most of the time it's the same repetitive show.
Yeah, it's really depressing. I mean, a few minutes and all right, turn the channel.
Yeah.
You know, when I grew up, we were only networked. There was no cable. The TV, the writer, they had really good writers, dramatic. They had the Twilight Zone, they had Unlimited, they had Star Trek. They had The Way Out. They had A One Step Beyond, Playhouse 90, Alfred Hitchcock. They had Thriller, all these. The best, really good writers. There wasn't a lot of money because of creativity, good writing, good acting and directing, good cinematography. They got great shows. And now it's like degenerated to like a joke. It's just, let's put anything out. Who cares? Just, you know, it's like you're building a car on an assembly line, and you don't care whether the last person that buys it 20 years and runs great or blows up a month after they drive it. Just get it out. Who cares?
Yeah, well, that's what it's become
to. That's the mindset out there. They're just out there, not out there trying to make a point. They're out there trying to make a living and you know, for money. And nothing wrong with that, but you think you'd want to be known by something good? No, they just want to make money.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I tell you a story. This is in the late 70s. I came up with an electronic toy. It was an electronic Ouija board. Don't ask me how it works because I can't explain it. It worked some of the time. So we brought it to Parker Brothers. They weren't interested. We got it to Mattel. One of my friends knew, the head of development guy. So bring it in. They tested it. Scared the crap out of them. They didn't want it. Okay. But the head guy wanted me to meet him privately at his house about some other business thing. So months later weeks later I met him at his house. And remember, this is 78, so remember the time frame. He said, you ever movie Sleeper? Yeah, Woody Allen, yeah. Remember the Orgasmatron? I went, yeah. Did you build one? I said, a way to remotely stimulate the midbrain to cause orgasms? I said, maybe. Could you do it? I went, no. You're going to fry people's midbrains with microwaves? Are you out of your mind? Yeah, but they'll have pleasure. I go, no. Can you tell us how to do it? No. Can you direct us to the right people to do it? I went, no. You're insane. No. I want nothing to do with this. Never heard from them again. So, you know, it's like, whatever. It's a joke. You know, if you find it, I have a number of, in the real world, I own 6 medical patents. And developing the patent was easy. Doing the studies was easy. But then from taking it for where it is through the FDA cost tremendous amount of money. Building production models, doing multiple studies sanctioned by the FDA, talking great amount of money. And we're discovering that if you're trying to raise money, they're not as interested in what you have. They're interested in who you are and who you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's like selling a script. if you got the right package involved and you're the right person, they'll buy anything. If they don't know you, they won't even talk to you. One of our devices is a thing only for women. Woman grabs it with her hand. It tracks your fertility curve electronically. This is not basal body temperature. So she grabs it with either hand, and it tells her one of three things. It tells her instantly if she's pregnant or not. It tells her if she is ovulating or she isn't. So it can be used for fertility enhancement or for contraception or pregnancy detection. And it's a no-brainer. And, you know, most companies go, well, we don't really care about that. Well, we're not women, we're men. Okay, we pitched it a group up in Silicon Valley. Of all the people listening, it was only one lady past menopause. And she says, yeah, Barry, will this work on my dog? I go, what? Will it work on your dog? We're bringing you a $1 billion piece of technology that for stop women from putting hormones in their body and make their life better and safer. Yeah, if it'll work on your dog, just ask your dog. I don't know. We didn't do studies on dogs. We did studies with women. What are you talking about? That's like, and then another device I developed, it's called the Cryogenic Remote Sensing Physiograph, CRESP. Remember the original Star Trek series? In sick bay, you'd lay on the bed, your vital signs would be read out above you, but there was nothing touching you? I developed the real one.
Hmm.
It measures ultra-low frequency electromagnetic energy your body puts out. And it can measure EEG, EKG, and EMG, and respiration up to 12 feet. Anyway, so we pitched it at one group, Cedars-Sinai, some years ago, and we're in a room with all these doctors, and you know, so we're there. And they asked, well, Barry, well, will this thing cost more or less money than what we're currently using, you know, with electrodes? I said, doctors, they're all MDs or all lawyers. Gentlemen, is your new Mercedes or BMW more expensive or less expensive, the one you replaced it with? More expensive. Well, there's your answer. What?
Mm.
It's like they said, okay, forget it. It's really odd. Whenever you're trying to produce change, there's tremendous resistance. And the more change there is, the more resistance you get. In science, the reality of a new phenomenon seems to be inversely proportional to its reality. In other words, the more people think it isn't real, the more likely it is. The more people think, oh, yeah, that's a shoe and that'll work. No, it won't work. It won't work.
Huh.
So it's a weird, it's, you know, the reason I couldn't get a normal job when I finished graduate school was I did different work. I try to do something unique and different. You looked as a wave maker. You cause problems. You don't fit in. And you're a problem. You want to do change. We don't want change. We want everyone to think the same. And go, isn't that death?
Mm-hmm.
Stagnation? Yeah, well, you know, it's very strange. When I entered graduate school, I had to take two tests. The graduate records examination, GRE, then no big deal. Just regurgitate what you've learned. Did very well on that. The second test is called a Miller's analogy test. Word one is to word two. As three is to word four, for word four, you've got a possibility of six choices. So, you know, take the test, second test. I come in, the lady said, Barry, did you go up there? I said, well, no, on the earth. I go, what? Well, you scored, like, in the lowest percentile on Miller's analogy test. It's like you didn't grow up here. I go, is that bad? She goes, yeah. You think differently than everyone else. Is that the bad thing? She goes, oh, yeah. No one wants to think different. Oh. Machine. Yeah. So, what do you do?
I think we're losing you, Barry. I think your phone's starting to die on you.
Pardon?
I think your phone's starting to die on you.
Yeah, it's like a couple hundred years too early. I think I belong in about the 24th or 5th century, maybe. Or maybe beyond it. I got trapped here by accident.
I think so.
I took a wrong turn, and here I am.
I think so. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in the program tonight. I wanted to touch base with you on a couple of quick questions. Maybe you can answer them for us.
Sure.
Do you think or do you feel that ghosts, the term that we're familiar with or we've become accustomed to, do ghosts exist?
Yes, but not the way we think. I think our ancient beliefs are wrong. They're not like, you know, invisible entities floating around watching. I think it's way more complicated than that. But yes, they're real, but it's not the way we think it is. It's a very complex, like we were discussing for the last hour or so. It's a very intricate, complicated mechanism that is not that easy to explain.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So it's real, but without us, without a living person in the middle of it, nothing happens. In other words, the old phrase, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, doesn't make a sound. In this mode of thinking, it does not, because the compression wave, which is what we hear, you only respond to it as if it's heard or recorded. There's no one there to hear it recorded. There's no way. There's nothing. So it's a very subjective thing. And
gotcha.
That's what we're dealing with. We've got to realize that we're involved with all of this. And the question is, does the past still exist in some way? Yes, the information it makes of the past still exists. Does the future already exist? Yes, informationally it exists. Therefore, we can access information from both the past and the future and things in the distance in a way we don't yet understand. And that's what's the core of all of this.
Fascinating. Cryptids and ufology. Do UFOs exist? Are we dealing with extraterrestrial life, or are we dealing with something that we're creating we are with ghosts?
I firmly believe, my book gets into this, my website gets into this, definitely. We're dealing with, where Earth is being visited, has been, by intelligent beings from God knows where, different parts of the universe. Been going on since very early humanity's existence in ancient times. The phenomena stayed pretty much the same. Our interpretation changes as we evolve. It exists, and the governments of the world have gone to great lengths to make sure we don't believe it does. Cryptids, yes. I mean, I definitely believe in Bigfoot, Sasquatch. It's way too much evidence. A lot of good shows that have been coming on shows. The Bigfoot, the definitive guy, with like stuff with Jeff Muldrum. Mm-hmm. Most of the shows with him are very good. Yeah, it's there. The question is, you know, why haven't we found them yet? Well, we didn't discover gorillas till the late 1800s, early 1900s. So,
very good. Juan, do you have any last-minute questions for Dr. Taff?
No, I really don't, to be quite honest with you. It's nice to speak to you again, Barry. A good bit, 2 years.
Yeah.
And
I'm
glad you come on, and we've been able to update what you've been up to. But it's always great talking to you. I mean, I learn something every time I talk to you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Before we let you go, Barry, can you tell us what's on the horizon for you? What kind of plans you have coming up? Any new books you're working on?
My book is still for sale, Aliens Above, Ghosts Below, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I've just finished writing a new miniseries, but I can't discuss it because it could be easily stolen. I can't even talk about what it is.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with ghosts.
Oh, okay, good.
Nothing to do with ghosts. Nothing. This is, and it's not reality. It's a scripted series.
Okay.
And it looks like we're going to be doing a remake of The Entity.
Oh.
It will not be based on the novel that Frank DiFilia wrote. It'll be based on Chapter 2 of my book.
Really?
Very good.
It'll be a very very accurate, detailed movie about what really happened. And it's probably going to freak a lot of people out.
Now, are you consulting on that, or...?
No, I am one of the executive producers and one of the writers.
Fantastic.
So this is going to be, it's a couple years away, but we're just getting moving. But, I mean, this will be what the original movie should have been. But the original movie was based on a novel. This is based on reality.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some dramatization, or else why make it? You know, if it isn't dramatized, why would you want to make it? You've got to have something out.
Right.
That, and then I got a couple reality shows I've created. We're trying to sell those, and that's the least likely because the reality shows don't follow that idiotic formula.
Right. Right. Well, if it doesn't entertain and doesn't meet a certain demographic, you won't get it off the ground.
Yeah. And one last thing. If anybody's interested in the medical stuff I talked about, go to my website, barrytaff.net, read the blog Energy Medicine, Selling a Car to a Caveman. Anyone wants to invest, you need a lot of money, big chunks of money, you're talking about returns over 1,000-fold for each dollar.
Fantastic.
So imagine putting up a dollar, you'd get thousands back because we have no competition. No one's developed what we have. So check it out. You never know. Can't hurt.
Fantastic. Barry, we're going to have to get you back on again with us, and it has to be shorter than 2 years.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know. I'll be happy to come back on.
We appreciate it. It's always good talking to you, my friend, and it's fascinating information. I'd love to have you on because you tell it like it is. And a lot of people are unfortunately afraid to hear what you have to say because they want to believe that ghosts are real and what their definition of ghosts are. Or, you know, they want to believe that the house is haunted. But you explain it so much more factually and based on what you've learned for your 40-plus years of researching this.
Yeah, it's, at least we've gotten something out of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So appreciate guys having me on. You want me to come back on, let me know.
We will do that. Thank you, Barry. You have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we'll be in touch.
Too. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Barry Taff is our guest tonight on the program. BarryTaff.net is his website. You can check that out. A lot of great information. He writes a blog, which comes out probably about every week, every couple weeks, and some fascinating information there. You can follow him on that, and you can check out his book, which is Aliens Above, Ghosts Below. And there are links on our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com, for his website, information on the book, his bio, anything that you want to learn about Barry, you can check out our website or his. Stop by and visit. And Barry's one of our favorite guests here on the program. It's always great to talk with him. And I'm telling you, Lon, the gentleman has got it right on the money. We've been talking about this for some time.
Oh, yeah. I always like talking to Barry. Yeah, and, you know, he's kind of the epitome of the actual investigation, paranormal investigation. And, the work him and Barry Conrad did together was outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's talking about a movie coming out that represents the entity case in a more realistic fashion, I can't wait for that.
Oh, I agree. I agree. That's going to be awesome when that does come out, because I remember seeing The Entity with Barbara Hershey when I was a teenager, and it scared the bejesus out of me. I remember there's some scenes in that movie, and it was a very racy movie, if you remember. There were scenes in that movie that I sat and watched that I went, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a teenager, 13, 14 years old, seeing that. And I loved horror movies back then, but that one really freaked me out. I remember that one quite well. And then, of course, the San Pedro case, the Jackie Hernandez case, and, man, seeing the reporter being hung in the attic and the walls dripping the different the plasma, that was just bizarre. And it's interesting to hear Barry's explanations for some of these phenomenon. It really is.
Well, you know, the PK phenomenon, it's something that I've talked to you about, and in some of the cases I've worked on, it's been prevalent in the case, and it's actually what it turned out to be. And his when he first described it, it was first described in the movie, and then how he and Barry Conrad explained it. That was really the first time I had ever heard of that, and really realized, well, poltergeists are really, something that's caused by the living. And, it makes every bit of sense. I mean, emotions, stress, a lot of other factors. These are strong, and it causes a lot of strange energy and a lot of strange phenomena. And absolutely, it's
interesting to hear.
Yeah, it really is. I mean,
from his point of view.
Yeah.
Definitely is. It gives you a lot to think about, that's for sure.
And it does, absolutely.
Well, folks, we've come to the end of the program here at BTE Radio. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. A reminder that I will be on Banal of America this Wednesday night at 9 p.m. with Tim Banal. That's going to be a fun show. 2 hours of me talking nonsense about Bigfoot. Something I know absolutely nothing about. It'll be fun to talk with Tim. He called me this weekend and asked me to join him. And he actually asked me to be on back in November when the Mountain Devil movie was due to premiere. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that show that week because I had scheduled another radio interview. But I'm going to be on this Wednesday. It's going to be fun to talk with Tim. And incidentally, there is a new documentary coming out that's going to feature Nick Redfern, Ken Gerhard, Jack Hanna, the famous zoologist Jack Hanna. folks from Jack's Links, and yours truly, Eric Altman, Dave Dragson from the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, Don Keating. It's called, I believe it's called Modern Monsters. Mm-hmm. And it's a documentary that's going to be released probably in the next couple of months. The producer finally contacted me. I was filmed for this back in 2010. But he contacted me over the weekend and said that he's putting the final touches on it. He has to get approval from Jack Hanna and from the folks at Jack Links. And that documentary will be coming out here probably in 2014. So Modern Monsters is the name of the documentary. And if you go to my Facebook page, there's a trailer there for it you can check out. So another one I can mark on my little bedpost.
Yeah, my episode of Monsters and Mysteries of America should be out. Oh, I don't know. It'll be out within the next 3 to 4 weeks, I think. I haven't heard anything from the production company. But it'll be toward the end of their season. And
we'll look for it.
Actually covers my encounter with the Sykesville Monster or whatever that was I encountered. And it tells some of the history of the beast. So that should be very interesting. I hope it's done good. But, I like I said before, I really liked when I worked with them. So
yep,
yeah, I expect good things.
Well, we shall see. We'll keep our fingers crossed. We're out of time, folks. We got to roll out the door. Revenant Reality Radio is up next. We invite you to keep it right here to Para X Radio. We'll be back next Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Our guest will be Fred Saluga. Lon, let's head for home, buddy.
Let's go.
Everybody, have a great night, and we'll catch you again next Sunday night.
Join us for another live edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Para X Radio Network. Archived shows are available on Podomatic, Parapods, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Para X Radio Network, or our official website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. To contact Eric, Ron, or Sean, email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Beyond the Edge Radio is a Beyond the Edge Entertainment production heard here on the Para X Radio Network.